Fashion Emergency Hotline.
Help! It's a new year and the new me really needs some new workout clothes.
The new you should just run to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep. Right now, all Old Navy active for the family is on sale up to 50% off.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did. Old Navy active has tons of new styles to help you work out in style this new year, starting at just $7.
Wow! The new me is going to Old Navy. Thanks!
Don't thank me. Thank Old Navy.
Valid 1-2 through 112.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the sky!
Hello and welcome to Go for Gold. This is our first episode for 2017. I hope everyone listening is having a great start to the new year. I'm Tan from Oz, and on Go for Gold, we discuss real life stories about people who've overcome challenges, both personal and through their business. These people have fought hard to go for their own golden moment. And today's guest is an accomplished digital strategist who has met the likes of Tony Robbins and Donald Trump. How many other people can say that they've actually met a president? She is highly regarded in the digital world in the areas of outsourcing, social media, cyber safety, and web design. And here to tell her story, and it's a very, very interesting story because it always wasn't like this, because a few years ago she nearly lost everything to a black hat marketer. So I'd like to welcome our wonderful guest today, and her name is Esther Anderson. If you have any questions for Esther, please ring in on 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. Hello, Esther, and welcome to Go for Gold.
Hello, Tan. How are you going?
I'm very well. Now, Esther, you have actually joined one of the growing trends of people in business, and that is being in business or starting a business on the other side of 40. Tell us all about how that transpired.
Well, I guess part of my generation growing up was you became educated, went to school, and you became an employee. I didn't know anybody that was an entrepreneur as I was growing up, and in fact that word wasn't invented yet. You would become a local businessman and maybe open up a store, or you would get a degree and become a doctor. And neither of those were for me, so I was an employee for many, many years. Because of personal circumstances, left school at 15 and without graduating, and had a very interesting life, I must say, and have achieved and done a lot of things that other people haven't, from running away to joining a circus. And and if you start your younger life, working life, with that kind of job, it can only go up from there.
That is just fascinating. Running away to join the circus at 15, was it, did you say?
Yes, 15.
Wow, yes. What a great start to a life. That's something that, you know, all kids sort of dream of, isn't it? You know, run away and join the circus and live the glamorous life. So you then, obviously, to go from running away and joining the circus to becoming as successful as you are now, because you are seriously riding the waves of success. You've got an incredible team behind you. You're very well known in the digital world as one of the leading experts on the western coast of Australia. But it hasn't always been like this, has it? Tell us about the time when things just didn't go to plan, and even take us back perhaps a little bit further back as to when you even got started.
Well, I was working for and I have had many types of careers, and totally opposites, from being a vet nurse to a cook, imitation chef, to working in a pub to being a contracts manager. And one of, I believe it's a gift, is my tenacity for things. So I get involved in them and I have to pull them apart and see how they work. So whether it was technology, although it was pre-technology days, it's how do things come about? So like I bought my first computer and then taught myself how to use it. So I was an employee and working different jobs. And several years ago, the option came up to attend a National Achievers Conference in Australia. And it was in Sydney, and I live in Western Australia in the far north. So it takes three planes and 8-9 hours to get anywhere. So it's very costly as well. So if you want to go ahead and do something, you really have to put your mind to it and you have to pay for it. So, of course, when you get there, you make the most of it. So I saw the list, and there was Donald Trump and Tony Robbins and Robert Kiyosaki and 20 or 30 others, and I wanted to attend. And I thought, if I'm going to pay all that money and go all that way, I'm not going to be one of the masses. I forked out for a VIP ticket, so I was sort of one of 100 up close and personal. So I flew over, and when I say I did have my husband in tow. So we attended. It was a three-day conference. There were 10,000 people. The benefit of being in the VIP circle was for meal times. You would actually get to meet the speakers and mingle with other like-minded people. The very interesting conference. If anyone has the opportunity, go to something like that. It totally changes your mindset. Now, I am very lucky in my family. I had a relative that was a psychologist. So she actually taught me how to evaluate people. And so I would people watch and take it to the nth degree. It's not just why somebody's up on stage. I would look at the people and go, what makes them adore the person up on stage? Because I was just fascinated with everything. The first day we had Anthony Robbins for 8 hours, and anybody who's been to one of his conferences know how draining emotionally, physical and mental it can be, but it certainly breaks down the walls. The next 2 days we had different speakers, and of course to a certain degree it was a sales fest, but it was opening up dimensions that I never knew existed, whether it was investing in property or shares or whatever. But there was one person that came along, and he spoke about the internet. And where we lived was so remote, we couldn't actually, we were looking for sort of some sort of part-time work and almost as a hobby. So anything like shares or investments, you need a lot of money to start. When he talked about the internet, and I'm thinking, we have the internet, maybe I can take him up on that. So I ended up signing up to that course, and that was my first step into the cyber world and understanding the sixth dimension, as it were.
That's really interesting. Now, take us back. You said that you were involved with the speakers at lunchtime. Are you talking speakers as in the Donald Trump and Anthony Robbins of the world, those speakers?
Yeah, there's a saying here we have in Australia, and it says you have more front than Myers. And Myers is a department store with a huge glass frontage. And so having more front than Myers, I would go up and introduce myself to people. And because I wasn't going to waste the opportunity, I always feel that it would it's not fair if you spend that money and go there and you hang back. It's, if I have a burning question, I'm going to ask it. So, you know, please be tolerant for those pushy people down the front next time you go to a function, because they may have another reason to be at the front. But when we met them, Donald Trump was actually going to be on the last day, and we found out that for the VIPs is going to be a cocktail party. The majority of everybody, it was actually going to the airport to fly back throughout Australia. So we went up for this not a, quite a secret cocktail party, but when we got there, instead of, you know, 150 VIPs, there was less than 40 people there. So Donald Trump came out, and so I didn't actually meet him. I was, you know, had cocktails with Donald Trump. So I was in a group of people. We had the opportunity to chat, share a glass of champagne. And I'm not talking about the Donald Trump of today, and I don't want to get involved in that. But when I talk about the businessman from you know, several years ago, and you stand there, anybody that's in power, whether you like them or not, you have to appreciate what went on behind the scenes for them to get to that position. And so I'm looking at him and talking to him. We're actually talking about the oil and gas industry in Australia, excuse me. And I'm looking at him going, what sets him apart from me, apart from the money and the power? And it was very interesting how when you look at the audience and you look at them looking at him, everybody sees something different. They see what they want to see. So we were with him for about 45 minutes in a quiet group, having a chat with him. Lunch one day, had a chat with Robert Kiyosaki and his wife. She's a lovely lady. So it was great attending there and speaking to those people, because at that level, they do think differently to us mere mortals, I have to say.
So did you actually, could you say you actually learnt something, you got a big takeaway from any of them, or is this the start of your actual foray into the business world?
I would say that would be the moment I had the realization that I could be on that stage as well, for example, or I could be the CEO of a company, because they all had their own individual stories, because there were about 25 speakers there and they all had their own different roads they traveled. But they were able to achieve something, and it wasn't just the money, it's the position or what they had achieved, because some of them were actually community organisations. And what it showed was if you were determined, disciplined and focused, you could get what you wanted in this world, which I always knew anyway. But to go off at this level, to this tangent, I thought there is no difference between them and me. I have what it takes. I just need the opportunity. And that's what I learned. It wasn't the actual steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, and yes, I'm going to be the female equivalent of Donald Trump, but just that I could be like them as well. That was that whole weekend. That was the big eye opener there.
Well, at the end of the day, we're all human beings, aren't we? So Esther, you signed up for a course on internet marketing to get started, and tell us what happened there, because there is quite a story of a little bit of that sort of an ups and downs and you coming out on top. How did that unfold?
Well, now this person's legendary, and I prefer not to say his name because he's American, and he ended up coming out to Australia about 3 times, and he was selling an internet program and software. And he was teaching a course on the first step. This is where I learned funnels, how you step people along and gently guide them to the ultimate goal. And it was training on selling products on eBay, which is a physical thing that anybody can do, but it was using the computer. then there was different steps on there, like building online stores. There was, because we're all new about this, we didn't know there was a right and wrong. So there was quite a bit of black hat that went on. And for those that don't know, it's just the internet, you know, has good and bad like anything. And it is frowned upon, some of the techniques, and a lot of it was working with Google AdWords. And ultimately you could make quite a bit of money, and you would design advertising, direct traffic to a store that you had set up, sell your product via Amazon, and you would get a commission from Amazon for each product. The technique that he had, and I have to admit, I'm an addict, and it's apart from coffee, I'm addicted to anything like the internet. So when he was showing me this, and I'm very angry, pedantic, I wanted to know how it worked. So I would spend 6 and 8 hours a day perfecting the technique. And I still had a day job, and I was lucky. I worked 9 days a fortnight, and so I had ample opportunity. So I really nutted down to figure out how all this worked. And
during this time, you didn't realise that what was happening or what he was doing was actually, there is affiliate marketing, which is quite legal as long as you disclose it, but he was doing it a little bit beyond affiliate marketing. It was very systemized, and you didn't realize at this point that what he was doing wasn't correct.
No. And because we're all new, we didn't understand. We sort of didn't go in the way into the internet the way you should and learn it, you know, what's correct. And I think even so back then, now there's not as many scammers. There's more open information. And if you do get scammed, it's purely because you haven't done your homework. Back then, it just didn't occur to us to not take somebody at face value, because after all, he was on a stage with Anthony Robbins and Donald Trump, and was well known and written books on eBay would hold, you know, day-long conferences, have hundreds of people turn up. He was legitimate to all intents and purposes. And so when we were working the software, I then found out that it was quite lucrative, because I was making quite a bit of money, thousands of dollars a day, and this is in commission. And in fact, he started announcing me as his head trader in Australia. And suddenly I was beating him at what he was doing, just because I was so methodical with it. And so I thought, yep, this is great. But like all good things, it has to come to an end. And Google shut me down within 2 weeks. And so I had to open up another store, and that got shut down. And each time it took longer and longer for stores to get opened, and there were issues with Google and the internet and so on. And every time I went through him, it was somebody else's fault, not him. But he was trying to get the software written to keep up with me at a later date. Anyway, learning all that sort of thing, I'd gone over to America 3 times and learnt at the time. And each time I took it at face value, just didn't occur to me. And ironically, when you think of like snake oil salesmen, they always look like they're wearing a suit and they're so smooth. Well, this guy is as geeky looking as they come. You would never, ever expect him to be, underhanded. So cutting a very long story short, because this was over a couple of years, learning and studying, not realising I was studying the wrong end of the stick, but I could see the results. I invested more and more in training, different products that he had. Then he came up with some great software, and there were only a few licences available. So I bought a licence, very, very costly. And then 2 months later, he opened it up to the market and sold it for a couple of $1,000 to the general public. So it basically ended in tears in that respect. So, had no money, had all this knowledge, the wrong knowledge, and I thought, now what do I do? So
what did you do, Esther? Most people would give up by this stage or get angry, or how does one actually cope when you've lost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars? You must have felt that you have just been completely taken in over the course of a couple of years, that, you know, Google frowned upon you. How do you rise above that?
I've always been an optimist in my whole life and a happy person. And I don't like negativity or bad things. I guess, you know, with certain things in my life, I sort of take the good times while I can. So when all this happened, first it was shock that, honestly, that can't be right. You know, he has to be, you know, dinkum and honest. And then my husband and I sort of looked at each other. But I have to say, we never cried over it. We sort of sat down and go, now what do we do? I was angry, but I wasn't bitter. And trying to find a good side of this, and it sounds crazy, and I know a lot of people just wouldn't do it, but I thought, well, I just invested in my education. If I was going to walk out the other side a doctor, I would have invested as much money. And so what have I learned? And I thought, no, a couple of things I learned. One is I'm never going to trust, and when I say trust anyone again, I'm talking about, you know, public marketing or products. I'm going to do my homework and review everything about them. Secondly, I'm going to learn how to do all this the legitimate way myself. And thirdly, never buy any software that's not under my control. So I'll buy a product, download it to my computer, and then it's mine. If I have to log in and rely on somebody else's portal, then I always have a backup plan, because it doesn't matter how much I pay for it, it's not mine at the end of the day. And interestingly enough, in when all this happened, it was like, okay, what are we going to do now? Oh, well, I have to learn how to build my own online store. What does it take to do that? I didn't sit there and think, well, I don't know. I can't afford to employ someone to do it for me. I wanted to know how to do it myself, because you have to know, even if I employed somebody else to tell them, you know, you'd have to know to what you actually wanted at the end of the day. And so I started learning the systems the right way and building my own stores. And because I'd actually started a forum with all the Australians, and so they would come to me with queries that they had with everything. And so I'd help them build their stores or find a way out. And one of the things we had in that forum, even though we'd all been burnt by this person, was there was no bad mouthing about him allowed at all. It was all, we're moving ahead, we're moving forward. And that's what we did. And some people over time dropped off and didn't take it any further. And some people, you know, it started them off in other directions. But that's one way to get started, is you just keep moving. You know, you just keep breathing. You put one foot in front of the other and you go, okay, eventually we'll get through this. And if he can do it, so can I.
That's awesome. And I really love the fact that you had that mindset. And I guess this comes out right from when you started talking, right at the beginning, Esther, and your mindset, I think, is the thing that will always set you apart and which will make you a leader as opposed to a follower, because you're relying on your mindset to help you get through obstacles. As we know in business, you're always going to have challenges and obstacles. And that was a big one to overcome. And I really love the way that you said that your mindset changed and you turned it into, well, I've just invested in my education. And that takes all the emotion out of it. and puts it right into something that's tangible and gives you a better perspective instead of just feeling all the emotion and hanging on to something like that. So I think that's great. Can we talk a little bit about digital marketing? Because you're a bit of an expert in that. And digital marketing has replaced traditional marketing for businesses in so many ways. But it's not something that is always easy to do or even to predict, such as like Facebook ads, for example. Now, I've run campaigns that have worked well for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden, whether it's algorithms, whether it's just that, you know, it's not reaching the right target audience, whatever, all of a sudden, then they just drop. What do you suggest for beginners or anybody who is new to digital marketing in terms of what are some of the best things that they can do and how do they actually begin a campaign and really track their campaigns? Because in digital marketing, at the end of the day, if you're not tracking and you're not looking at what's converting, then it may not be the best thing for you to do. What are your thoughts?
I'm assuming your audience is quite aware of Facebook advertising. In my world, a lot of the time, people don't even understand digital strategy or the difference between old-fashioned paper passive marketing and as compared to today, products are put in front of you, so you go out and buy them. Previously, you used to go and say, well, I need a new washing machine. I'll go and compare models. So with the marketing, my audience tends to actually not know how to do it themselves and, in fact, not understand how it's done. So this is either I have to teach people from scratch, but more often than not, they ask us to run with the campaigns. Then we turn around, and especially with bricks and mortar stores, which is a lot of people that are on Facebook who don't necessarily have a website and they're relying on Facebook as their online business card. So they don't understand that there's a difference. What is their actual aim of advertising? Is it brand awareness? Is it actually converting people into walk-in-the-door clients? Or is it actually just getting visitors to a website? So each one has its own reasoning and strategy behind it. It's, and you can't launch a product straight away and expect people to buy it. You might get 3 out of 1,000, whereas if you start with the brand awareness and people suddenly understand how important that product can be to them, then you'll get a much higher conversion. And you're right when you say things stop working. Often it's you've reached your saturation point where everybody in your audience has seen your ad, especially working regional Australia. That is very hard because you have a limited number of people and you understand that your audience is going to be broken down across the board into whether they're just learning about you to tell a friend or whether they're actually going to buy something. But at the end of the day, when there are algorithms that change, that can throw it. But there's also external influences. For example, we're working a campaign in December for a politician, and he wanted to keep promoting certain things. But he's up against one of the biggest things, and that's Christmas. Nobody is interested in politics at Christmas. And if you're selling a physical product in the lead up, November, first 2 weeks of December, that's great. Your product will fly. Afterwards, January is a quiet time because everybody's bought everything. So there are quite a few things to take into consideration. And if people are trying to learn this for themselves, get an understanding. There are a lot of things they can sign up for, well-known digital companies, and read and understand. From there.
And something that comes to mind when you talk about that, and it is so true when you say know your aim and know your audience. Now, for example, personal trainers and weight loss companies, they just go boom in January. However, in December, no one's interested in you know, losing weight coming up to Christmas. They all go to Christmas parties. They're not interested in, you know, signing up to a gym. But after they've eaten too much and drunk too much and feeling, you know, that they need to start their New Year's resolution, you know, yeah. January is the time that they are one of their busiest times. So
yeah.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, and the other thing too about that, because over in, you know, America, it's winter. Over here, it's summer. So are you going to go and exercise when it's minus 5 degrees or when it's 40 degrees? And apologies, I'm talking Celsius here. I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but when it's so hot. But people will. And that's because the year is starting new. It's something fresh. And I believe that people have a new slate. It's suddenly you've been given the next 12 months. You can make a difference. It's not because everybody counts down to the end of the year and say, I've only got 3 months until, oh, I'll never lose that weight till Christmas. But starting a new year, it's whether you're losing weight, starting a new business, making resolutions, it always seems you have more time to set these up and start to achieve them.
Mm. So just coming back to digital marketing, because there are a lot of businesses out there who are trying to work out, do I stay with a bit of traditional or do I go with the digital marketing? And let's just say that they start looking for a company to do their digital marketing. What sort of things would you say that they need to look for in a company if somebody was going to run their digital marketing campaign for them?
The one thing that's very hard to find, and that is personal interest. When you go to their website, obviously have a look at their website and their social media, because if they don't have many followers, likes, and they don't update their own posts, it's a dead giveaway that they're trying to get business. They're not achieving so much. The next thing is, when I say personal interest, is read on a website if it says we're offering you the best. Excuse me. Offering you
well,
the
best of you-
in the late. Sorry.
I was just going to say, for those of you who have just tuned in, we're talking to Esther Anderson, who is a digital strategist, and she is talking about digital marketing at the moment. And if you would like to ask Esther any questions, you can call in on 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. Or if you're in Australia, then jump over to our Facebook page and ask the questions there. Sorry to interrupt you, Esther.
Yes, when you're looking for someone that's going to take an interest in your business as much as you, you want them on their website, their information to connect with you. Not all the glossy terms, not the high technology terms. And reading all this the other day, I was surprised at how many people use buzzwords, but it was actually trying to translate the page. But if you come across someone that says, we try and get inside your head and your business, and when you ring them, you don't get an automated salesman, you actually get someone that says, okay, what does your business look like? And this is, interestingly enough, in the cyber world, if you have a business and if you have a brick and mortar store, there's no difference between that and a website. So you need to actually evaluate it, because having a different pair of eyes, looking at what makes your business tick, what's special about you, why should I go and use your air conditioning service as opposed to the one down the street, why should I go into your stationery store, and whether it's about customer service or it's the location, you have to get an understanding about that to bring the personality into the digital world. I can just write rehashed content that's very generic, and it's not going to get the conversions. It is not going to resonate with anybody. It's just words on a page. But when you put the images there and you talk about the staff and here's the happy customers And this is what Mrs. Brown did with a cooking product or baked a new recipe. That's what people want to read. It's all about the personal content, the personal stories. And so when you're looking for someone, look at how minutely they get involved in their client's business. But if it's just generic stuff, you're going to have a lower conversion. It'll be cheaper. And that's the whole idea. It's not going to be a cheap fix. Because someone, it's like I go into a store, I actually go and physically visit my clients and to get an understanding of their business and spend a couple of hours with them, and they can show me and I can touch things. Then I can build their strategy based on what they're all about. It's not my story to tell, it's theirs. So really look for the personal quality.
So as to your point of difference then as a digital marketer yourself is that that human touch, if you like, where you actually go in and communicate with them, and whether that be on the ground face-to-face or if you are working globally, that would be through Skype?
Yeah, Skype or Zoom. We usually use Zoom because then we can record the interviews and refer back to them at a later date.
Great. Esther, now Petra, CEO of Women on Fire International, she has sent in a question which is actually touching on our next area that I was going to talk about, which is social media. Now she says, I'm so tired of everything on Facebook that I scroll past it all because there's so much noise there. I've signed up to so many things that I just don't use. How do you use Facebook to build a tribe and get past all that noise? So I guess what she's asking, if I'm correct, is that quite often if you want to, there are so many groups out there, Facebook groups, and you're selling your services or you're selling your products and you draw people into a group so that you can, you know, build a relationship with them. But how do you actually do that? How do you build that relationship? How do you get people into your group? What would you suggest?
There's two things there. What's within your control and what's not. So when I say what's not, I'm talking about Facebook algorithms. Now, the number one thing with Facebook at the moment is the live video. If you use video, you actually have a 75% chance more of actually having that post showing to your required audience. And it also sits there in your feed. It gets shown again. There's a lot of reasons there. So it's like find out the rules by your social media platform, whatever it may be. Some platforms like Instagram are great because they show everything. It's not pick and choose. But you've got to play by their rules. So understand that whatever platform you're on. Then it always comes back to quality content. And you, I would have to say 60, 75% of content on there is just reposted, retweeted, and it's an article that somebody else wrote. So it has to be original content. It's not just text anymore. You've got to have an image as a minimum, and video is always better. But you have to slowly build your tribe, and it's got to be quality content. And by offering to others without asking back for yourself. What I mean by that is don't go and like someone's page and say, okay, I've liked your page, like me back. That doesn't work. It's you go out and you help people, you network, you connect them, you offer free information that you have. Don't expect anything in return. Then you are known to build your own reputation as an all-round nice person. And then people will come to you, and because they know you don't have any expectations, you're not after their money, you don't have any ulterior motives. And this way, you are really going to get fans. And this is the way you build raving fans. It's slow, and you are in competition to all this other rubbishy stuff. But when you do your Facebook targeting, that's when you can select your audience and try and get in front of them. But it's got to be free, quality content that you give away to others to build a relationship.
And that makes a lot of sense. So coming into social media, what sort of things should a business do when it comes to social media? There are so many different platforms out there. Do they go and just snap up their name and go across the board? Do they just, you know, jump on Instagram? Is there any sort of formula out there that you in particular advocate for to help people actually identify where they should go?
Yes, they should start. And if listeners, they can just Google, you know, build your own digital strategy, or they can get in touch with me and I'll send them a how-to sheet. And you need to audit yourself. And you start from real basics. Do you have a website? Do you not? Because that plays a huge part in it. If you're only going to rely on social media to get your word across, you need to find out where your clients live, your customers. For example, if I was a doctor or lawyer or service provider, it would be LinkedIn and Twitter. If I was doing handyman services, it would be Facebook. If I was selling craft work or designing dresses, there's Instagram, Pinterest. Snapchat is coming back for all the right reasons. And you have to find out where your audience lives, and then you go and target what they're interested in, what time they're on their social media. For example, we work a lot with tradesmen, and they have two types of clients, these building companies. They actually want to get the high-level jobs, so they need a website to actually show the big companies they have all the policies, procedures, HSE statements, and then they want to get residential clients, so then they're on Facebook as well. So when they look at the time on Facebook, tradies are on Facebook up until about 7 a.m. of a morning, from 5 to 7 a.m., and then after 7 o'clock at night. They don't have time during the day to go on Facebook. But if you're targeting office girls, for example, they're on there between 11 and 12 each day. So you have to start with your digital strategy, find out where your customers are and what are they interested in. Then don't go and create 20 accounts on social media. Pick two and manage them well. There's nothing worse than you go to a feed and it's been abandoned. There hasn't been a post for 6 months and you think, oh, well, maybe they've closed down. There's a lot of smarts you can do about posting as well. Scheduling your posts. So it's something you do on a Sunday evening with a glass of wine. Schedule all your posts to go out daily for the next week or 2 weeks and it's done, but it goes out all the time. Learn how to operate it properly. So invest a bit of time in the beginning and then you can set it up to almost be a rinse and repeat effect ongoing.
Now, Sonia Grosser, I jumped on Facebook and she's the owner at My Green Soapbox. Now, we might even be able to do a little bit of a case study here if you're up for it, Esther. Now, she's currently managing Candace Diana, who I believe was a contestant. Sonia's going to have to jump on Facebook and say the whole story. But Candace Diana was from, I think, The Voice or one of those shows. And I do, please forgive me, Sonia, for not remembering all the details. Anyway, she's coming up and she wants to, she's going for an ARIA award this year. So that's pretty big. So you've got someone who has had a really high profile and, you know, won or was runner up or whatever she did in you know, on live TV, hundreds of thousands, you know, of audience. She's still got a great fan base there, but she's sort of, I understand, rebranded herself. She was on The Voice, second in the world in the karaoke competition. So she is pretty accomplished. But I believe she's rebranded herself now as Candice Diana, and she is going for an ARIA award. So for someone who was really out there, really up there, had a huge fan base, probably has, you know, taken time off for a while, and now they need to get back into it at a really high-level scale, what would you do? Where would you start? She's got a new release, a new song coming out in March. So let's just say we've got a singer here, very, very talented, and she's got something coming out in March, so we want to really promote that. How would you do it? What would you do? Digital marketing? What would you do? Social media? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but as an overview, what do you think?
Okay, because it's all about the voice. Now, the first thing that gets me is I go to the website, and to me, she looks like a very wistful country music singer, and it's a very clean sight, very plain. Then I go to the Facebook, and she has blue hair. I mean, stunning, stunning lady, but there's a disconnect there. So what happens is when you drive your visitors from your, you know, social feed to your website, it has to be consistent, because if I go to one and I haven't heard her voice, tragically, I don't watch that much TV, apologies, but a lot of people are just visual, and they look at it and go, oh, that doesn't look like the same person. And in fact, I went to the website to click on the Facebook link because I didn't know who it was in the Facebook feed. So always make sure you have consistency across your products. Okay, rhythm and blues. Thanks, Sonia. I'm just reading your comment. So because it's all about the voice, now you look at YouTube, don't underrate YouTube. That's how Justin Bieber came out. He really built his fan base there. So it would, using your musical platforms, I would also suggest a lot of live Facebook feeds from concerts, from singing, and I can see there's quite a few here as well. And that's the whole idea, that the band practice and so on. And that's there are no hashtags. I don't know what singers or what direction in turn that Candice has liked. And when I say Candice has liked, I'm talking about the Facebook page. I would turn around and like and follow other people in the world. So you have to turn around and encourage people to follow you back. So you never know when you come to something like Elton John actually coming across your video. The YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud are the platforms that Candice is on. I would also look at the titles of the song. For example, there's one track she has that's titled Rain. That's something that is, I would link to, if it's raining on the east coast of Australia, put a soundtrack to actual rain. And because people will play that, it's like if it's a song about Christmas, people will play that. Try and find some sort of connection. If there is a song that is anything about Australia, Australia Day is coming up. If it's about falling in love, link to something to promote it with Valentine's Day. And especially if Candice is doing any concerts around that time, have some competitions and say, win two tickets to see Candice on Valentine's Day and then go for dinner afterwards. Anything like that that you can link and weave it through So look at your strategy, your strategy board, and go, okay, we're going to have a couple of competitions. We're going to give away some records. So you're asking people to like, follow, and share. You can also, we used just recently for a chemist, a little competition, and it was goodies jumping into a basket. So what people had to do was actually click on the product they wanted to win, screenshot it, repost it. And so here it might be ask people to list their favorite song, and it may be that you might have 100 votes for the song that's called Mama's Coming Home, and you say, okay, Candace is going to do this live for you on Friday night at 6 p.m. and stick to that. It may be that during the week, Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock each week, Candace is going to do a live by request only. And so you can start pushing that, saying, what song do you want her to sing most live? So when she's actually leading in to sing that, you've gone live. You can say, well, you know, here's a shout out to, you know, Bob and Betty and so-and-so in that respect. Start getting more interaction that way with competitions or getting your followers to post back to you.
Wow. I am very impressed, Esther. That was totally off the cuff, and it just goes to show why you are one of the leading digital strategists, not only in Australia but probably the world. If for someone to come up with something like that, well done. And Sonia has just put on Facebook some great ideas, so I'm sure that she's very pleased as well. So now we're coming in, well, we are into 2017 now. So what should business people be focusing on when it comes to technology and their business? What do you see? Are there any big trends? We've talked about, obviously, Facebook Live videos being, they're going to be quite, continue to be quite big. Is there anything else that you would recommend for people coming into 2017 that they should be looking at with their business?
Video is a big thing, and I know a lot of people don't like the live feeds because they don't want to put themselves out there, because, and face it people, you look the way you look. That's the way you were born, and whether you like it or not, if, you know, do a video, because there's 99 out of 100 other people thinking the same way, saying, I don't want to go live. I'm too scared, I'm too embarrassed. But if 99 people aren't going to do it, then you be the one to do it, because suddenly you're capturing the market. That's how I got to where I was now, because unfortunately I never say no. So I just go and do these things because there was no option. And think about it, if no is not an option and you have to do it, imagine all the opportunities. So what that means with when you do videos, you can make your own commercial. It doesn't take much. You don't need $20,000 to put it on TV and, you know, only hit maybe 10% of your target market. If you actually make yourself a little commercial, for those that aren't aware of someone like Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, you can actually upload your video and get someone to convert it into a little commercial for a few dollars. And you can post that on Facebook. Whatever social media you use, learn the ground rules. Quality content. Now, there's a lot of different social media platforms out there, and they come and go, and then they make a return. If you're doing well with one, branch out with others if you want to. But the thing is, do whatever it is and do it well and stick with it. And learn from it. And so it's quality content, offering value. Don't put up rubbish just for the sake of putting up rubbish. We do tests all the time, and it's quite easy to go and get 1,000 followers on Facebook. And does that mean it was quality content? Not necessarily. Look at the content that's there. You know, you can go out and buy 10,000 likes overnight and then get them taken away in 2 weeks. But that's what it's got to be, quality content and video. You can do so much with video. And I mean, if anyone has any questions, by all means, they can contact me, and I'm happy to give them a little mini audit and just point them in the right direction for your listeners, Tanya.
So how would people actually contact you, Esther?
There is my master website, which is technology.com, but it's spelled TECK-NOLOGY. But if they do misspell it and type in technology, digital marketing, I think my site comes up. And that would be the easiest. It's online at technology. And if they just make reference to listening to your radio show, then I'm happy to have a chat to them at any time. I'm also, both myself and my company, Technology, are on all social media platforms. And on Instagram, ironically, I'm the Esther Anderson. And the reason nobody will actually find me in Google, because we have a famous actress in Australia called Esther Anderson, and there's also one in America. And so me, myself, will actually never come up. I'm sorry. You'll have to go through my company.
And that's not a bad thing. Now, Esther, you have given such amazing information. Just quickly, we're constantly making things better, faster, smarter, or less expensive in the world of technology, but our lives just seem to be so much busier. In 2017, how can people stop technology burnout? What's going to be your top tip for 2017?
It's going to come to the stage where you really need to disconnect and actually have a physical conversation with people. I'm sure everyone had a look at Christmas and saw how many people, instead of just baking the Christmas dinner, you had to tweet and Instagram and share it step by step. And I think it is an addiction, and whether you're trying to give up chocolate or smoking or coffee, maybe you treat technology as its own and say, right, I need to turn off at a certain time or only check it once every 6 hours instead of every 5 minutes. But it's going to require some great effort, because it's so easy, it's around us, and we're being encouraged by everyone to use it all the time. So it's got to be a conscious decision to do so.
I remember quite a few years ago now, there was a bit of a trend in Japan, I think it started. I can't quite remember what it's called, but what people had to do was when they went to dinner, they all had to put their phones in the middle of the table and they weren't allowed to touch them, so that they would actually really engage with people. So that would probably be a nice little strategy for families to employ. I know in our family here we have tech-free time, which is dinner time. We all sit down at the table. No one's allowed on the phone or computer or anything like that. And we try and make Sundays a bit of a tech-free time as well, where we actually go out together as a family. So I guess there are a few ways you can sort of disconnect.
Yes, and in the house it may be a case of just turning off the Wi-Fi when you go to bed and pulling all the devices. When I was helping parents with cyber safety, and it was quite interesting and intriguing, the way kids were actually sneaking their devices out of their parents' bedroom at midnight to jump back onto the Wi-Fi. So it's definitely, whether it goes into the blanket box with a padlock and be done with it, and then I have other clients where they've just taught their children the ground rules, like riding a bike. You wear your helmet and knee pads before you get on the bike. So, okay, here's your phone. Here are the ground rules. You've got to stick to it. And you just have to be firm about that.
That sounds wonderful. Adults too, I agree. Esther, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Really appreciate all your thoughts and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Tanya. And once again, if your listeners have any other questions, they're quite welcome to ask at a later date. I'm happy to pass on any information. And it was a joy being with you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.